This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Everybody, welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen. We are with rotowire.com. Go check out our work over there at rotowire.com. Use promo code ROTO15. Get 15% off anything on RotoWire there. Big day today. We're going to be talking hoops trades. We're going to be doing rate that prop for baseball. I'm going to chime in on a bunch of that. We have no more hoop props for a while. Maybe the NBA draft tomorrow. We'll see about that. But Nick's shaking his head. Light a candle for Nick. No more it's NBA tough time. For a few months. Tough time. But we do have WNBA, and Jason Schabelsky is going to make his debut on Prop Points. He's with RotoWire. He heads all of our WNBA coverage. So we're going to break down tonight's slate for that, and we'll do some over-unders and other talk for baseball for tonight's big Tuesday night slate in baseball to finish up the show. Nick, the dismantling has started for the Boston Celtics. Drew Holiday has been traded to the Trailblazers. You and I were spending some time talking about this on SiriusXM Fantasy this morning. And this is kind of an interesting trade. I think the Celtics did well for a team that everybody knew they were going to have to start peeling apart, and Holiday was a likely candidate to get dealt. I think they did all right in this trade.
Yeah, I think so too. And we'll get into, you know, I think what both sides are signaling with this deal. But, you know, we had heard over the last few weeks, you know, I think Shams said it on TV during one of the playoff broadcasts that, you know, this is shaping up to be an extremely explosive offseason. You have some teams trying to load up. You know, the East feels so open right now. You have other teams like Boston, you know, trying to shed salary. And, you know, I think as the ramifications of the new CBA continue to hit a lot of these teams, you know, we're going to see more movement. And so far, Shams was right, because we've seen the big Desmond Bane trade. We, of course, had Kevin Durant traded on Sunday morning leading up to Game 7 of the Finals. And now, late last night, as I'm preparing for bed, it was like 10:35 p.m. my time, I get the notification that Drew Holiday is on his way to the Portland Trailblazers. And, you know, in terms of what this means for both sides, I like it for Boston more than I do Portland. I've kind of had to go through some thought exercises as far as, okay, why did Portland make this deal? But we'll start on the Boston side of things. And for what it's worth right now at the DraftKings Sportsbook, Boston 16-1 to win the NBA Finals. To me, this is another masterful trade by Brad Stevens. You know, you get out of the Holiday contract. First and foremost, that was probably the number one thing that the Boston Celtics wanted to accomplish this offseason. And not having to attach any draft capital, in fact, receiving draft capital from Portland in this deal, getting a young asset in Anthony Simons, a 26-year-old for a 35-year-old. You don't often see what's essentially a one-to-one trade with that big of an age gap. Just getting out of the Drew Holiday deal alone is a massive, massive win. Celtics are now closer to working their way under the second apron. I certainly think there could be another move or two coming for this team. Now, Anthony Simons is on an expiring deal, and that's what makes this interesting. So he could very well just be a rental for Boston, but you're essentially getting a free look at a 26-year-old who has been, you know, in this same situation, kind of playing for a middling team in Portland for the first 5 or 6 years of his career. He now goes to a much better situation. Even if they do further dismantling to the Celtics roster, it's going to be better than what he is coming from in Portland. And on paper, Jeff, I think he's going to be a really good fit for how the Boston Celtics want to play. This is a team that wants to put up 50 to 55 threes per game. More than half of Anthony Simons' field goal attempts last season came from beyond the arc. He's a, you know, 37 to 40% shooter from that range. So I think he can slide right in. You know, again, it kind of buys Boston a free look. If things go really well, maybe they do look into extending Anthony Simons after next season. If they do go into more of a cost-cutting mode, you could basically let him walk for free. But again, for Boston, just getting out of the Holiday contract is huge. On the Blazers side of things, I don't love this deal on the surface. If you're dead set on moving Anthony Simons, if you've decided, all right, we're not going to pay him that next contract, which is fine, I just think you could have done better. I think there would have been other teams that would be interested in bringing him in on that expiring deal. And, you know, Drew Holiday makes almost $33 million this coming season. He makes almost $35 million the year after. And then the real killer is a $37.2 million player option in 2027-28. Objectively, one of the worst contracts in the NBA. One that I think the Celtics regretted almost instantly, given the steps back that Drew Holiday has taken, especially offensively, over these last two seasons. So I guess the sell for Portland, Jeff, is you're bringing in, you know, one of the great locker room guys in the NBA. You're bringing in a guy who's still a really, really good defender. He's not an elite defender like he was 2 or 3 years ago, but he's still a major plus on that end. You know, Portland did take on more of a defensive identity over the second half of last season. They closed the year as one of the five best defenses in the NBA over the last month. So I guess it's Portland leaning into that. If you're looking toward the future, yeah, eventually Drew Holiday will be an expiring contract. Eventually, maybe that becomes a trade chip. But to me, that's pretty speculative. We're talking summer of 2027 at that point. And, you know, Portland was on the short list of teams that was projected to have a ton of cap space over these next couple of years. And a lot of that is now taken up by this albatross of a contract. So I don't love it on the surface for the Blazers.
What does this do for someone like Scoot Henderson? You know, like, do they still run everything through him? Do they run it through Holiday? You know, I kind of worry about his development too a little bit because of this.
Yeah, you know, that could be part of the thinking, right? Is that, you know, they had a hard time kind of forcing Scoot Henderson into the starting lineup at times last year. You know, Portland was kind of torn between, all right, do we try to push for that 10 seed? Can we make the play-in tournament, or do we try to fall back? And, you know, unfortunately, they kind of tried to play both sides, ended up coming up just short. And, you know, that's how you end up picking in the late lottery. So in theory, getting Simons out of there, yeah, that does open up more for Shaedon Sharpe. It opens up more for Scoot Henderson, but it's not like you're going to bring in Drew Holiday and just play him 17 minutes off the bench, right? I mean, a lot of those minutes vacated by Simons, in theory, now go to Drew Holiday. So I don't know that you've really solved that issue. You know, this is a team that I thought actually put together a pretty solid young core. You know, Denny Avdia showed plenty over these last couple of years. Tumani Kamara has kind of emerged as an underrated role guy. You know, you still have another albatross contract on the books in Jeremy Grant. You know, DeAndre Ayton feels like kind of a forgotten man as well, and more of a negative value contract at this point in his career. So it's tough to evaluate exactly where Portland thinks they are. You know, like acquiring Drew Holiday, to me, that's a we're going for it type of move, right? That's a, this is our final piece. You know, this is the guy that could push us over the top. And, you know, for Portland, maybe that means you're in the play-in tournament. You know, maybe in a best case scenario, you're like the 7 seed in the Western Conference, but Portland is far, far away from challenging some of the powers in the Western Conference. So it's a move that certainly makes them better. I think in the short term, it's a floor raising move, but I don't think it ultimately moves the needle as far as, okay, do I feel good about this team winning a playoff series? No, I don't.
Yeah. I think this would make a whole lot more sense if Portland were in the East somehow. It's Portland, Maine instead of Portland, Oregon, but absolutely. One other basketball question before we move on. Like, you talked about style play. Boston wants to play like this with Tatum out, and say in Indy too, with Talley out. Does the tempo and style of play change for these two teams?
You know, for Indiana, I think it might, right? I think you know, Haliburton, as we saw over the final three quarters of game 7, which is ultimately a small sample, but things change dramatically, I think, for the Pacers. I mean, Haliburton is the straw that stirs the drink. And, you know, outside of Ben Mathurin, who's more than happy to shoot the ball anytime it's in his hands, you know, we did see, you know, a more aggressive version, I suppose, of Andrew Nembhard out of necessity as the finals went along. There's not a lot of playmakers. There's not a lot of true distributors on this Pacers roster. So I think in terms of style of play, yeah, we could see something different from Indiana next year out of necessity. Boston, to me, plays the same way no matter what, Jeff. You know, we talked about that even down the stretch in the regular season on this show. You know, when they would rest Tatum, they would rest Jaylen Brown, they'd mix in some rest for Porzingis and Holiday. Like, everybody on the roster understands how they want to play. They are on this roster for a reason. So even without Jason Tatum, I think we still see Boston lean into that Joe Mazzulla mentality of, we're going to win the math battle from three. There's going to be some nights where we go 9 of 52 and we're probably losing that game, but we're betting that more often than not, we're going to hit 16 or 17 threes. You're going to hit 11 or 12 threes, and that's going to end up being the difference. So it's really, really interesting to see the direction that Boston takes here. I view this as somewhat of a gap year for the Boston Celtics. I would be really surprised if they parted ways with someone like Jaylen Brown. I think, you know, Derek White or Kristaps Porzingis, those are the more likely pieces who could end up being on the move.
Indeed. All right. Aaron Rodgers. Let's talk a little bit about him. He mentioned today that this is probably his last year. Shocker, Nick. Shocker. That's why he only signed a 1-year deal. Not because he had loads of teams offering him 3-year deals.
Yeah, Rodgers was on McAfee this morning making one of his regular appearances. And, you know, to be fair to Rodgers, he said it's pretty sure that this is his final year. And, yeah, you know, look, could they have signed him to a two-year deal where the second year is not guaranteed? Yeah, maybe they could have. I don't read too much into the contract language. But, yeah, the writing's been on the wall, right? I mean, I don't think it would have shocked anybody necessarily if Rodgers retired after, you know, these two disastrous years with the Jets. So this certainly seems like the final go-round. And, you know, again, it's not a surprise from Rodgers' perspective, but if and when that happens after the 2025 season, we're going to be right back to where we have been for the last 4 or 5 years with the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is searching for a quarterback of the future. You know, they brought in some of these Band-Aid type of players. They rolled the dice on Justin Fields. They rolled the dice on drafting Kenny Pickett. Now you're bringing in a 40-plus-year-old Aaron Rodgers. The Steelers are going to need to find a long-term succession plan at some point.
Indeed they are. Indeed they are. You're looking at win totals for the Steelers right now. You're looking at like it's -120 for over 8.5. So that we're still looking at the same sort of range as the Steelers always are in, 8 to 10 wins and probably a first round playoff exit there. It's the most likely result as far as that goes. All right. Are you still using your buddy's gut instinct as your betting strategy? Come on, you deserve better. RotoWire has the real tools the pros use: rankings, projections, updates, and data that doesn't sleep. Whether you're making picks, setting your fantasy lineup, or placing bets, our award-winning insights give you the edge you need. Get started today by heading over to rotowire.com and entering ROTO15 at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. Quickly, the Mets lost again last night. Nick, they are struggling, and they get to face Spencer Strider tonight.
They do get to face Spencer Strider, which is, you know, maybe a little less scary now than it would have been a year and a half ago. But Philly's now -145 to take the NL East. Jeff, Mets plus money to win the division amid their struggles.
Braves still plus -450 to not make the playoffs now. Rate that prop coming up next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Prop Points rolling along here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson back with you. Jeff, we're going to turn our attention to Major League Baseball. I know you'll have your best bets for tonight's slate coming later in the show, but we're going to play a game of Rate That Prop. One of our favorite games here on Prop Points. Our producer, Michael Cohen, has very, very carefully curated some player props. And Jeff, your job is to give them a rating, 1 through 5. If you give it a 1, no way you're betting it. It's a bad bet. Number 2, you're thinking, okay, probably not going to bet it, but I can at least see the logic. 3, that's right on the line. You're leaning toward betting it. 4, a nice bet. 5, you are running to the window to get that in. So let's get started with Cal Raleigh, and we're going to take a look at the AL MVP race, Jeff. Cal Raleigh continuing to stay hot, 8 homers over his last 14 games. He's breaking records left and right. He's somewhat chasing Barry Bonds' record of 39 homers before the All-Star break back in 2001. What would take an all-time heater over the next 2.5 weeks to get that done, but wouldn't put anything past Cal Raleigh at this point. To win the AL MVP, Jeff, he is now +550 at the DK Sportsbook. Aaron Judge -2,000. Would you bet Cal Raleigh at +550? What do we rate that?
I rate it as a 2, Nick. I think it's too late. I think I want to instead invent a time machine and go back to last week and jump in when Eric Halterman mentioned him at a much higher payoff ratio there to go ahead and put that bet in then. Alas, I was traveling, so I missed out on that opportunity. But I just don't think these are great odds. I mean, this is at the peak of Cal Raleigh's powers, at a point where Judge is slumping. I think both of those things, that confluence of events, has really worked to do that. Funny thing is, despite all that, Seattle's still 40-37. They're still not in first place in the West, AL West, which is a weaker division. They're still going to play in that ballpark where I know he's been able to overcome it so far for the most part this year. I still think that ballpark hurts him a little bit there. The catcher argument works both ways. One, it works in his favor because, you know, he's playing a harder position. So thus, if he's leading the team to victory and he's doing all these great things as a catcher, mm-hmm. It's great. But B, it also leads him to more likely getting hurt at some point in time. We saw this with Adley Rutschman going on the IL recently. I think it's something we got to watch for a little bit carefully. So I don't think I would bet it. I rated it a 2.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that, especially with Judge still sitting at minus 2,000. It's basically a bet that Aaron Judge gets hurt and misses enough time to knock him out of the race. So Cal Raleigh to win the AL MVP, we're giving that a 2 out of 5. All right, let's take a look at a prop for tonight, Jeff. We got Tarik Skubal on the mound for the Tigers. They are home for the Athletics. Tarik Skubal, 9+ strikeouts tonight at plus 120. Rate that prop.
You know, this is another one where, you know, I at first when I started digging into this, I'm like, yeah, sign me up. And then I looked at it a little bit closer. I'm only going to rate it a 3. Skubal hasn't hit that number in his last 4 starts. However, he is facing the swinging A's, who, you know, do strike out quite a bit. If you look at it the last 30 days, the Athletics are the 4th highest strikeout team at 25.8% strikeout percentage. So you're talking about a team that does strike out a lot. So I think it's plausible. Does he go fully deep into this game? The A's are a heavy money line favorite in this one, too. We'll talk about that a little bit later at minus 329 now. Maybe they'd build up that lead. We'll see about that one there. But I'm going to say only a 3 just because there's that chance he gets the quick hook.
Another pitching prop for tonight, Jeff. Carlos Rodon and the Yankees, they are at the Cincinnati Reds. He goes up against Chase Burns, making his debut. Big-time prospect coming up for Cincinnati. A little bit lower number for Rodon, but Carlos Rodon, 7+ strikeouts tonight against the Reds, minus 105. Rate that prop.
Putting it as a 4. This is one of my favorite ones of the night. A lot of attention going to be on Chase Burns tonight. And justifiably so. I'm psyched about watching Chase Burns' debut. Rodon, or I think we're kind of sleeping on him. I think he's been a really good pitcher all season long. I think he's hit this prop enough times recently that it's reasonable. The Reds, they're a little bit higher than average in terms of how much they strike out, but against lefties, it's a little more heightened. You flip Ellie around to the right-hand side. I think that's important. So I'm going to rate it a 4.
All right, there we have it. A 4 out of 5 for Carlos Rodon, 7+ strikeouts tonight. Let's move on to a hitting prop. We're taking a look at the New York Mets. They get the Braves and Spencer Strider tonight. Brandon Nimmo, 2+ total bases, Jeff, at plus 130. Rate that prop.
All right. This is a BVP, batter versus pitcher sort of prop here. Only going to give it a 3. Nimmo's been great against Strider, fitting .474, 2 doubles, a triple, and 2 homers against him. Any one of those results would get you the 2+ total bases, the over 1.5, if you will. And yet, Strider's shoving lately. I know he's got that history against Strider, but some of that has to be against when, you know, Strider wasn't really at the peak of his power. So I'm wary of this one here a little bit there. So I'm only going to go 3 only because I'm scared of Strider.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on to another hitting prop, Jeff. Rafael Devers, anytime homer. 1+ home runs for Rafael Devers tonight. Giants taking on Cal Quantrill and the Marlins, putting that 5.7 ERA on the line tonight. We're getting this at 3-1. Rate that prop.
All right, so we rated that prop last week. I gave it the first ever 1 ever in the history of rate that prop. It was plus 290 at the time, that one there. And plus 300, okay, that's better, but not much better. It's all about the ballpark here. This ballpark is a really tough place for left-handed power. It's one of the historically toughest places for left-handers to hit home runs. So the fact that we went from 290 to 300, that's an incremental change in our favor. The fact that it's against Cal Quantrill, well, okay, maybe that pushes it a little bit more. Quantrill's been missing some time lately, too, in his way back. I still don't think that's like a super great payoff there. He got his 1 homer against the Red Sox over the weekend. So we did have the narrative streak was fulfilled. Devers is also dealing with a strained groin, too. He's limited to DH duty. I know they're going to put him at first at some point in time just to thumb it into the Red Sox eye. At least they didn't do it directly against them. But I'm only rating this a 2. I don't think this is a great prop.
We'll have a couple more props coming your way in a moment. But first, do you want to bet smarter this football season? VSiN Pro can help you start off strong. Our new NFL betting guide drops next week, and early access means a better shot at spotting value in futures markets before those lines move. Now is the perfect time to join with our football special. Just $175, you'll get full VSiN Pro access from today through the Super Bowl in February. That's for every sport we cover, every single day. You'll get a special early bird price. The sooner you sign up, the more you get out of it. You'll be first in line for our NFL betting guide, your playbook for the season. It's packed with team previews, power ratings, and season-long best bets. Plus, you'll get a daily best bets email from all of our expert hosts and their guests. You get real-time betting splits from both DraftKings and the Circus Sportsbooks, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, full access to all the analytics, tools, and pro systems over at VSiN.com. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Do it right now. You can lock in the football special for just $175. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Looking forward to checking out that NFL betting guide, by the way. Both Jeff and I contributed to that, as did all the names, all the personalities that you know well from the VSiN network. All right, Jeff, let's talk about the Atlanta Braves here. Ronald Acuna, he's been hot over the last couple of weeks. We're looking at the over 2.5 hits plus runs plus RBIs tonight. That's at minus 110. Rate that prop.
4. I like this one there. 4 equals a homer, by the way. One home run will get us there. That would get us all, you know, 4 total bases. It gets us a hit, gets us a run, gets us an RBI. So let's do this. You look at what Acuna's been doing lately. It's been phenomenal. Talking about a player that, you know, we talked about all the Braves' woes, but he's got over a 1,200 OPS. You know, he I think in the last 21 days, it's a 1294 OPS. In the last 14 days, it's 1504. 4 homers in that span, 7 extra base hits in that span, a whopping 18 runs in that span. That's one of the things about Acuña is, you know, such a great player. And he gets all these extra base hits out of the leadoff spot. So we're getting extra chances. The runs scored on him are through the roof. So that alone, I think, is going to push us in that direction. Then you factor in the pitching matchup. It's Frankie Montas making his Mets debut. His 2025 debut. He had 6 rehab starts. Heard Money Moves talking about this earlier here. Stormy was talking about how he's had 6 rehab starts with a hideous ERA. So we want to attack Montas anyhow. No better than to do it with Acuna. 2.5 is a pretty high number. I get it there for an individual player, but I think Acuna is the guy to go for on this one here.
Acuna 35-1, by the way, to win the NL MVP. 5th shortest odds despite missing all that time to begin the year. Real quickly, Jeff, we got about 20 seconds. A bonus rate that prop for you on the way out with your guy, Chase Burns, over 5.5 strikeouts plus 120. What do we got?
Over. Blind bet. Full it. Fools rush in. Yankees are slumping a little bit lately. Burns is just awesome. I can't wait to see him. I hope he has a Mizoraki-like impact on the Reds.
All right, there we have it. I think that sounded like a 4 or 5 to me, Jeff, if we're looking for a number.
Yeah,
there.
Four,
so Chase
four.
Burns, let's over go. 5.5 Ks tonight. We'll give that an official 4 from Jeff Erickson. And again, that's plus 120. We're going to talk some WNBA when we come back. We got our WNBA expert, Jason Chbilski from RotoWire, set to join us on the Progressive Guest Line. We'll get all his best bets for tonight's slate. It's coming up next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson here with you. NBA season may be wrapped up, but still got the WNBA holding us over throughout the summer. Got a big 4-game slate coming our way tonight. And to help us break it all down, our WNBA editor over at rotowire.com, Jason Chbilski, joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Chbilski. Jason, welcome in, man. Let's get right to the slate tonight. I want to start with the Fever and the Storm. This one in Seattle. Despite getting Caitlin Clark back, Fever have lost 2 straight. Storm, meanwhile, 6-1 in their last 7. How do you break down this game? Are you looking at a side? Do you look at the total? Or are you going right to the player prop market?
Best bet that I have in this game is Skylar Diggins over 22.5 points and assists. It's at minus 130 on FanDuel. Diggins, during her first year in Seattle last season, struggled a little bit, but she's bounced back early in 2025. She's been really effective recently while facing off against some of the toughest opponents in the league, including the Liberty, the Aces, the Mercury. She's averaged 20.7 points and 5.8 assists over her last six appearances, and the matchup between the Storm and Fever has the second highest over-under of any game on tonight's slate, so I'm really expecting Diggins to be heavily involved at home. If we're looking at a favorite, I think that I slightly prefer the Storm, but it's kind of a toss-up, especially now that Caitlin Clark is back in action.
Let's move on to Sparks versus the Sky. Both teams struggling lately. Three-game losing streak for each. 1-6, the Sky are 1-6 in their last six games. Is there a side, a total, or a player prop you like in this one?
Yeah, I like Los Angeles -5, even though they're on the road. The Sparks have struggled recently with three consecutive double-digit losses, but the Sky have also struggled recently, as you said, and their struggle has been more of a season-long struggle. So really, this matchup is who do you like to bounce back in this one? And even though the Sparks are on the road, I like them to win and cover the spread. The Sky have lost six of their last seven games. They're still trying to figure out what to do now that Courtney Vandersloot is out for the season. Their other matchup against the Sparks this year ended in a 13-point loss in Los Angeles. And tonight's game, even though it'll be played in Chicago, the Sparks remain without Odyssey Sims, but it still feels like a perfect bounce-back opportunity for LA.
Talking with Jason Shabilsky, our WNBA editor over at rotowire.com. He joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. The Dream are on the road in Dallas tonight, taking on the Wings. Dream have been hot of late, have won five of their last six. You know, Wings struggling, as you might expect. One of the younger teams in the league, just 3-12 through these first 15 games. What do you like in this one, Jason?
Yeah, another player prop here. I usually like the over on a lot of props. People who talk to me about bets will usually say that. But here I like Ryan Howard under 23.5 points and assists at the Wings. It's at -130. Howard has historically been consistent over her first few years in the league, but she's had some uncharacteristically lackluster performances this year. She bounced back a little bit Sunday against the Sky, scoring 22 points. But prior to that game, she had been held under 15 points in each of her last three appearances. And for all of the struggles that the Wings have had this season, one thing that they are good at guarding against is points and assists from opposing guards and forwards. So Howard had one of her worst scoring performances of the season against the Wings back in May, recording just 9 points. If you combine her recent skid with her earlier lack of success against Dallas, I think that she'll have trouble reaching her combo mark tonight.
Jason, let's talk a little Lynx and Mystics. Sonia Citron coming off a massive game on Sunday. Went for 27 points, 11 rebounds. Does she repeat tonight?
I think she does. Before Nafisa Collier was ruled out, I was leaning towards some of her player props. But once she was ruled out, I immediately shifted towards Citron, who has been really encouraging to start the season for Washington. She's been especially effective in recent matchups, playing at least 36 minutes in each of her last three appearances, and also hitting the over on this combo in each of those outings. I still think that the Lynx will win tonight, but Citron should have plenty of opportunities to rack up both points and rebounds. So Sonia Citron over 18.5 points and rebounds is one of my favorite bets tonight.
Jason, you mentioned Nafisa Collier, currently the odds-on favorite to win the WNBA MVP award. Tonight will be her third missed game of the season. And, you know, we're talking about a 44-game season here, right? So I think each absence matters a bit more than it does perhaps in the NBA. Would you bet anybody other than Collier right now for MVP? You got Caitlin Clark at +225, big jump down to Breanna Stewart at 50-1, Asia Wilson also 50-1, Sabrina Ionescu at 60-1. Does this feel like a two-player race? And if you're on Caitlin Clark, are you worried about the missed games for her? I mean, only missed five games, but again, that's over 11% of the season.
Yeah, Collier was my preseason favorite to win MVP. I think as the betting market says right now, she's still my favorite. But those missed games, they're starting to pile up a little bit now with three. Caitlin Clark also had her missed games. if we're really looking for value on the MVP market, I think Asia Wilson at 75-1 has a lot of potential value. She also had some missed games of her own. She missed three games with the concussion, but she's averaging 21.1 points and 9.8 rebounds. I think what you run into with Wilson is you get some voter fatigue potential because last year she won MVP. She's already a three-time MVP. So it feels like this is Nafisa Collier's season to win it. She's never won it before. If she can stay relatively healthy the rest of the way, I think that she'll have a really good shot at winning it. But she does have to get healthy. She seems to be trending in the right direction. Before she was ruled out today, she participated in shoot around. So she isn't like shut down or anything. But availability has been a slight concern for her in the past. So I think she needs to stay pretty healthy the rest of the way.
Now, we were talking about the Wings earlier in the segment, Jason, and obviously they are led by Paige Bueckers, you know, struggling, I think, as we might expect. But Bueckers has been fantastic. Minus 1,000 right now to win the WNBA Rookie of the Year award. Barring an injury to Paige Bueckers, it feels like this is a guarantee. But if you had to look elsewhere in that market, is there any other name? You know, we're talking, everybody else is at least 10-1. So there's value out there in the event that Bueckers does miss time. Is there any other name that you would consider in that Rookie of the Year market?
Yeah, I think we talked about Sony Citron earlier this season. And if you're looking for a dark horse to win it, I think Citron is one of the potential candidates. The Mystics were not expected to be very competitive this year, but early in the season, they've had a lot of games where even if they don't win, they've stuck around a lot longer than expected. Sony Citron and Kiki Iriafen, for that matter, another rookie in Washington, have been integral for them. I think if you're looking for just slightly more upside with this bet, Citron is probably the best bet since she's been a little bit more involved. But again, Bueckers has been pretty revolutionary. So as long as she stays healthy, I think that she takes it. But Citron could make a run in case Bueckers misses time.
So we haven't talked about the Las Vegas Aces, Jason. They are idle tonight. They'll play tomorrow at home against the 2-12 Connecticut Sun. But the Aces are a sub-500 team right now. If you follow the W over the last few years, that is not how it's gone. They, of course, traded Kelsey Plum, one of their franchise cornerstones, this offseason. They bring in Jewel Lloyd from Seattle. How is that trade looking right now?
It's looking good for LA right now. Jewel Lloyd has still been decently productive, but not nearly the same production that she had in Seattle. Over her last two seasons with the Storm, she averaged 22.2 points. To begin the season in Los Angeles, it's been about half that, 11.4. And Jewel Lloyd is one of those players. She'll rack up the occasional rebounds or assists, but scoring is really her bread and butter. And so if she can't do that, then the Aces aren't getting the full value that they expect from her. I think that I'm not too worried about the long-term prospects for the Aces, but to begin the season, they haven't had a win streak longer than two games. Now, part of that is Asia Wilson missed some time with a concussion, as we alluded to earlier. They've just had a few growing pains in general that they have had just a few skids. But I think that they'll make the playoffs, but I don't expect a very deep run this year.
Jason, great stuff, man. I know we could check out all of your best bets each day for each WNBA slate over at rotowire.com. And again, you can check out Jason on Twitter at Jason Shabilsky. He joined us, as always, on the Progressive Guest Line. Folks, time is running out. Enter to win a free entry into the Circa Survivor or Circa Million contest right now with proxy service included, with 21 million in guaranteed prizes up for grabs. The deadline to enter is tomorrow, Wednesday, June 25th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. Winners will be announced live this Friday on A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander. You'll get exclusive strategy access to Gil all season long. Go to winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN to enter now. That's winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN. Jeff Erickson's best bets for tonight's Major League Baseball slate coming up next on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson taking you home with some best bets for tonight's Major League Baseball slate. 15 more minutes until we are out of here, Jeff. Make it rain with Adam Schein coming up next here on the Sports Betting Network. Adam's going to have Zach Cohen from VSiN.com on the show today talking some NBA drafts. So make sure you stick around for that coming up right after us. Got a full slate coming our way tonight, Jeff. As usual, a little bit of a lighter Monday, but all 30 teams now in action tonight. Let's start with the Athletics and the Tigers. Detroit, a massive, massive favorite on the money line, north of 300. You can get the A's at plus 255 right now. Low total here at 7.5. That's because we got Tarik Skubal on the mound for the Detroit Tigers. He goes up against Luis Severino. How do you break this one down?
Yeah, we talked about the Skubal strikeout prop earlier there. And, you know, it's fun. Like, you want to back Skubal, and I think word on the street is that might come up later a little bit this game, a little bit, is what I'm hearing from sources. Tigers, 8.5 game lead in the AL Central. It's crazy how they pulled that out despite other pitchers struggling for them. I want to focus a little bit on the Athletics, though. Luis Severino pitching for the A's tonight. At home, it's been a disaster, 679, 160. But on the road, a 0.93 ERA, 0.96 whip. This is a split that's maintained all season long. He's really been comfortable on the road. He just doesn't like Sacramento. And nothing against the fine folks from the capital city of California, but I understand it's not a fun place to pitch right now, that ballpark in particular. So I actually am kind of want to get a little bit behind Severino. As much as that plus 255 price seems enticing, you still have the A's bullpen behind him there. And that's the part that's disappointing. So I'm not going to go there with the money line. However, I'm going to go first three innings, total runs scored. I'm going to do under 1.5 runs scored at plus 130 on this game, because I think Skubal's going to do Skubal things. And I think Severino's going to be good early on as well. So that's a way we can get behind this game.
All right. I like it. Let's move on to the NL East leading Philadelphia Phillies. They're on the road in Houston tonight. Astros minus 157 on the money line. Another game with a total sitting at 7.5. This is Framber Valdez going up against another lefty, Ranger Suarez. And Jeff, it was somewhat of a breakout last year for Ranger Suarez. He's built on that, a 2.2 ERA on the year. But I know you're looking at this as a potential fade spot for Suarez.
Yeah, this is tricky because Suarez is pretty good. You know, 106 whip. That's the thing that caught my eye. 52-14K to walk. But he's facing an Astros team that really hammers righties. They don't get to face him that often. They really hammer lefties. Excuse me. Let me correct that there. Suarez does throw with his left hand. That has been confirmed.
He does.
They only have 438 plate appearances the last 30 days against lefties, lowest in baseball by a wide amount, in part because they have a all-righty lineup. With Jordan Alvarez out, they don't have a single left-handed hitter projected to be in that starting lineup. Sometimes it's Victor Caratini as a switch hitter, but obviously he's going to bat righty. Astros lead baseball against lefties in WOBA with a 353 WOBA, 131 WRC plus in the last and over that span. So they're really good against lefties. So I'm going to kind of fade the strikeouts on Suarez. Under 4.5 Ks at plus 105, not a huge strikeout guy. I am going to play the under on the total game. Framber is rolling for the Astros. And I know this Philly lineup is kind of scary, but again, you want a lefty going against him, if anything, kind of neutralize Schwarber a little bit. So I like the total under at 7.5 as well at minus 119. So under 4.5 Ks for Suarez, plus 105. Under in the game total at 7.5, minus 119.
All right, we talked a little Spencer Strider earlier in the show, Jeff. Braves are on the road at the Mets tonight. Mets desperately need to get right. Lost last night. They've been struggling of late. Atlanta minus 150 on the money line. A little bit of an elevated total here at 9. So it's Strider going up against Frankie Montas. What do we like for Strider specifically?
I like the strikeouts. He got 8 against the same Mets lineup last time out. Has 21 strikeouts in his last two outings. Finally, looks like the guy that we thought we were getting with Spencer Strider earlier on. It's just keep in mind, these guys coming back from injury, sometimes it takes a little while to hit their stride. Sorry, not sorry. But I think the over 6.5 Ks at minus 105 should be fine. Frankie Montas making his debut for the Mets. We talked about that a little bit earlier. It's rough. I was tempted to look at the money line here a little bit, even though we like Strider. I mean, you're getting plus money at home for a Mets team that's 13 games above 500 and made it to the NLCS last year. It's plus 122 if you want to go that money line. It's just a question. It's the disparity in the starting pitching matchup. So ultimately, I ruled against it, but it's not a bad price if you're thinking about going that route.
I think you making the Spencer Strider pun, Jeff, that's officially your welcome back to the show moment. Erickson, anytime Strider pun cashes at minus 5,000 on today's show.
Yeah.
Let's stick in the National League. We got a battle in the NL Central. The Central leading Cubs on the road in St. Louis. This one's close on the money line. Cubs slight favorites at minus 115. St. Louis minus 108. Total coming in at 8.5. Jameson Taillon going up against Michael McGreevy. I know you're looking at a money line. And you got a feeling that we see some runs tonight, Jeff.
Yeah, the ball flew out of Busch Stadium last night. It's hot. It's really hot in St. Louis. It's hot across the country, actually. But the ball was flying over the weekend against Cincinnati. There was some heat exhaustion going on in that game from Ellie De La Cruz threw up on the field due to heat exhaustion. Point is, it's been a tough place to play right now. Taillon in his career against these Cardinals, they hit .315 with a .490 slug and 124 at-bats. So, I think they're going to get their run scored. I like both the money line for St. Louis at minus 108. And I like the total over 8.5 at minus 119. I think that ball flies out tonight.
All right. Speaking of your Cincinnati Reds, they are home for the Yankees tonight. Carlos Rodon taking on Chase Burns, the long-awaited debut of the Reds' top pitching prospect. Yankees with Rodon on the hill, minus 164 on the money line. Cincinnati plus 134. High total here. At 9.5. Tell us what you like in this game, Jeff, and tell us what you expect out of Chase Burns.
So it's a high total, I think, because of the ballpark. You got a rookie making his debut. But man, this is not just a rookie. This is the number 10 overall prospect in baseball, according to RotoWire's James Anderson. Recently updated that prospect list. One of the top rated pitchers, if not the top pitching prospect in baseball, making his debut. So I'm excited to see him against the Yankees lineup that has struggled a little bit lately. They've lost 7 out of their last 10 as a whole. And they went through that stretch against the Angels earlier, who are the Angels, struggling to score runs. Finally kind of broke out a bit about that against Baltimore over the weekend, but then lost again 6-1 last night. So if you want to bet the money line on the Reds, you could do that. I mean, it is a bet against Carlos Rodon, and I don't love that. I don't love betting against Aaron Judge, but still. Plus 134 for a home team that's playing better than the road team seems inviting. However, and the one I definitely would do is the under 9.5. Rodon, we talked about Rodon earlier and rate that prop, talking strikeouts. So I like the Rodon side. I think Burns is going to pitch well in his debut. So under 9.5 at minus 112 seems good. The only thing I don't like about the Reds on the is that their bullpen kind of got taxed a little bit. Lodolo didn't get out of the fifth inning. So they did log a lot of innings yesterday, which might take away from their top relievers.
It's time to close things out with our G-Bank best bets of the night. They're brought to you, as always, by the good folks over at G-Bank. Introducing the $500 trifecta from G-Bank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you have to do is open a G-Bank Visa Signature credit card, and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 over at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. If you do that, you'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your G-Bank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription. Takes you all the way through October 31st. We're talking a $200 value. It's the $500 trifecta from G-Bank, First Bet, and VSiN. You can head over to VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSIN.com/G-Bank to sign up. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today over at VSIN.com/G-Bank. Terms and conditions apply. All right, Jeff, your return to the G-Bank best bets of the night. We've talked a lot about Spencer Strider tonight. Is that where we're going?
It is indeed, Nick. We're going to go with the over 6.5 strikeouts, minus 105. Done it. I think he's just a different pitcher than he was earlier in the year. And I understand there's some track record against the Mets that's not great, but he pitched very well the very last time out against them. 6 innings, 1 run allowed, 8 strikeouts against them. So let's go over 6.5 Ks again today.
All right. I thought about going NBA draft here, Jeff. We're going to save that for tomorrow's show. Brandon Kravitz will be joining us to talk all things NBA draft. First round, of course, coming our way tomorrow night. I'm not taking the Tigers at a crazy money line price. I'm taking Tarik Skubal to get a win tonight, minus 140. He's won last three starts. He's won four of his last five. Six of his eight wins this season have come at home. A's hitting just 232 as a team over the last couple of weeks. OBP south of 300. We like Tarik Skubal to cruise tonight against the Athletics. That's going to wrap the Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. Make it rain with Adam Schein coming your way next.